He talked about the circumstances under which he started to college. He'd made one abortive attempt, which he'd gone a few weeks, made bad grades, and quit, with his father scornful and his mother weeping. Then had followed several years of adventures, California, running an elevator, working in a gin, working in a cafe, working in a law office, and then finally back in Johnson City, working on the highway, driving a truck. On this particular Sunday morning, his mother came into his bedroom to find him sprawled out on the bed with a broken nose which was spread all over his face, to hear Lyndon tell it. He'd been to a country dance the night before, had gotten in a fight with a Dutch boy, as he expressed it, over a girl. The boy had broken his nose. At least he and a group of companions had pitched in together and given him a considerable beating. And there lay Lyndon, a pretty sight. His mother must have thought, a truck driver by day, a brawler by night. She began to cry. She said, my son, my firstborn. And then she began to talk to him about working with his mind and going to college. She must have gotten under his skin because he said, all right, mother, you write me a letter and get me a job, and I'll go to college. On the other hand, his father administered a completely different sort of medicine. He said, no need of you going. You can't make it. You haven't got what it takes to take a college education. Just keep on. You might be a pretty good truck driver. I expect that was calculated. At any rate, it did the job. Lyndon left for San Marcos with $25, borrowed from A.W. Morrison's father, who had the Johnson City Bank. Later, he borrowed $50 from the Blanco Bank for Mr. Crist. So he was off to college, San Marcos, State Teachers College. Dr. Evans was the president. A letter which Mrs. Johnson wrote and signed her husband's name to persuaded Dr. Evans to give Lyndon a job working on the campus, cleaning it up. It's the rockiest, hilliest campus I've ever seen. Lyndon soon discovered the paths by which Dr. Evans went to and from his duties, and he always managed to be along that path, working with extra vigor at exactly the time Dr. Evans would come by. Dr. Evans noticed him. Within 6 weeks, he was working in Dr. Evans' office. Meals at a boarding house, Mrs. Pirtle's, I think the name was, were $16 for two meals, lunch and supper, or $10 for one meal. Lyndon, for a long time, had the two meals, but he discovered that his good friend Booty Johnson always just had lunch. He said, no, no, not interested in supper, just don't like to eat supper. Booty became Lyndon's fast friend. He learned several things from him. For one, he found that Booty was sleeping in the top of Dr. Evans' garage, unbeknownst to the business manager of the college or anyone in authority, except I wouldn't be surprised if the old gentleman, Dr. Evans, knew it and winked at it. He brought a cot and some bedclothes from home. Heaven knows what he did for any other furnishings. And he went down to the gym for his bath. Lyndon moved in with him. And there he stayed until his college career was completed. A hideaway, so to speak. He also found the secret of why Booty didn't eat that second meal. Booty was the night watchman. In that capacity, he had keys to most of the places around the campus, including the cafeteria. Lyndon began to stick around close to him while he was doing his night watching. Booty would say, well, goodbye, good night, I'll see you later. Meet you over the garage, good night. Lyndon said, well, that's all right, I believe we'll just stay up and wait with you. At last, Booty, either from weariness at waiting for Lyndon to depart, reassured that he would be a safe accomplice, took Lyndon with him to the cafeteria, where he carefully unlocked the pantry door, went into the vast refrigerator, opened it up, and there lay the remains of such things as a roast, some fried chicken, the banana pie. He got a little paper plate, helped himself abundantly. Lyndon did likewise. So they made their way through college on a shoestring. The day was full of many delicious reminiscences like that, and it was a marvelously restful day. The company soft and easy, and from Lyndon's standpoint, no fear of throwing names around. I hope it never happens. We sat down to our final big meal, roast beef, and then we got into the chopper and went back to the teeming city to face our jobs, but considerably refreshed. I know it's been good for him. And it's one small point of service for me, because he did it more to please me than anything, I think.